Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a gorgeous day. Join me. It's wonderful to have my, we have some technical difficulty there, it sounded like. Today's topic, can a compassionate, humble, and gracious leader survive in business today? So Daniel, for our regular listeners out there, happens to be in Peru leading a small group on a spiritual journey, and he will not be with us this week. But I am thrilled to announce that I have a really special guest with us today. Actually, Mr. Tim McGeehan, a very well-known leader. He's led companies all over the world. He's experienced executives and managers on both sides of this spectrum between compassionate, humble, and gracious, and the polar opposite. He's lived and led, quite frankly, on both sides of this personally, and has had an amazing story along the way. But I think first and foremost, congratulations on your recent marriage, Tim. It was just this last week. Welcome.
It was, Johnny. Hi, thank you. Yeah, we got married down here in Phoenix this weekend with a nice crowd of family and friends. So we're really blessed to just have a great weekend and really start anew, which is exciting for myself and Victoria. So thank you. We're very excited, optimistic, and engaged in building a very creative and fun life together. So thank you.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I know that you've been all over the world, between London and the Midwest and East Coast and now the southwestern part of the country. So is this where you're going to – is this where you plan on basing yourself for the rest of your life?
Listen, you never say never, and you never say don't move. I've moved, I think, probably upside of 12 or 15 times from New York City, Chicago, Detroit, wherever. So you know what? I've been blessed with that because you get to meet a lot of great people and a lot of fun environments. But we love the Southwest. It's a great area. It's a healthy balance for us. And it's very much how Victoria and I spend our time, which is body, mind, and spirit. And, we found a great community here to connect with and good friends. And, we ride Harleys and hike and bike. And this is just a wonderful place to do it in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we're close to a lot of things. We like to snow ski as well. And so we're not too far from Utah where we like to spend some time. So it's a really great environment for us.
That's awesome, man. The phone number, and I'm going to give this to you a couple times, of course, throughout the call. I'm telling you right now, this conversation is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Tim is very articulate. He's inspirational. You never get tired of engaging with Tim. So by all means, Tim and I want you to engage with us, whether it's an opinion, question, insight, feedback. We could be reached at 347-677-1965, 347-677-1965. Tim, today's topic again, can a compassionate, humble, and gracious leader survive in business today? Is this conversation even worth having? I mean, why bother? Does it really make a difference as to how you get results as long as you get them?
No, I think it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, I can tell you, and I think everybody and all your listeners have worked for leaders that are aggressive and direct and confrontational, controlling however you want to do it. And I've certainly been that in my stages of my career. But there are ways to go about things and business process and relationships that matter a great deal. And how you get the results, I think, is what matters. It's not just what you get, but it's how you get that and how you deliver it. And Johnny, I don't think that's any different than how you relate to your relationships. Failed relationships, good relationships, bad relationships are the same dynamics that play out in work. And we see that over and over again. It happened, my personal life's a good example of that. And so is my work life and my career. When things were going really great for me, I had a great sense of purpose. I had great clarity with how I was going about it. Now, not always did I lead with a compassionate heart. I feel like I led with a purposeful heart. However, you can get head down in your business and in your personal life that you end up showing a side that you just don't always want to show.
Give me an example of that, Tim. What's that look like?
Well, I can tell you about it in my personal life. I tend to be kind of an edgy individual. And my wife today has no problem telling me that I'm edgy. And that shows up in business as well. When I would get stressed or when I do get stressed, there's a certain demeanor that comes out of me. I like things to go the same way. I get such a kick out of everybody says, well, I love change. I just want to embrace change. Yeah, I'm sure you do. And when things get off kilter, they don't go your way. Oftentimes a different attitude comes out or a different demeanor comes out, and I'm no different than that. If I'm not getting the business results I want, I tend to get very intense, and if things aren't going right around the home, I get the same way, and not always is that a face I want to show. However, if I would slow down and back up and just understand that that's part of the process of growing in relationships and growing in business, I think I could have got to better outcomes, both personally, financially, and professionally, that would have enabled a better outcome and a more enjoyable outcome for everyone.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Something I want to go back to for just a moment. You talk about times of stress and pressure and maybe when we're not getting the results, whether it's in business or in life. That's kind of when maybe the ugly side of us, the proverbial ugly side of us comes out. And the old cliche, right, anyone can steer a ship in calm waters. It takes a true captain to steer through the rough storms, the rough waters. I think that's never been more true than this conversation here. This topic, I think, fits in well. It's you see those leaders, and I'm just fascinated, and I aspire to be one of those leaders. I certainly haven't arrived. Am I further ahead than where I was a year ago? Yes. Am I where I hope to be a year from now? No, not yet. But when you think about some of these exceptional leaders, you see Jim Collins writes about it in the book Good to Great, I think, even about why some companies can make the change and some companies can't. It comes down to leadership. But it goes back to the fact that you see some of these leaders that in the most stressful times, it seems like almost a whole new level of serenity and peace come about them, which brings such a calming effect on all of those around them. I mean, you've experienced this as well. I know that. But, I mean, how? I mean, how do they get to that space?
Well, you can't – there's a principle out there that you can't give away what you don't have. And so these leaders that have the ability to do that have an inner peace, or they have a calmness about them and a confidence about them. And in some cases, even like me, they might be faking it in the moment of crisis. However, those leaders that possess that skill of calmness in the storm or during the storm, or that their ship is always going in that direction, she has that ability to give away the peace that she has inside her or he has inside her. And that only happens when they feel that themselves. And so if they believe and they are purpose-driven and they have a clear sense of mission at hand of what they need to accomplish and how they need to accomplish it, you will not rock those people off of their direction or their purpose. If they are not grounded in their principles, their core beliefs, their core principles, they will go where the wind blows. And those people that come, with that peace and that calmness, they've worked very hard to get that. And that's not an easy place to always get to.
That's interesting. And I think another great example of those people they are also the movers and changers. They're not the ones that are just successful with one organization. You will see them move laterally and horizontal across not just their industry, but multiple industries and do well. But you will also see them be very relevant in a social environment, in their communities. I mean, it's an ambiance, an aura. It's like I always say in this call, it's this energy. It's just this really cool, positive energy that not only do they get results because they can maintain calmness and serenity in these types of level-headed thinking, but it's because of that, people just line up behind them to drive for this for the common good. So let me ask you something else. So we talk about these leaders. Now, these are really heart and spiritually based skills and behaviors, Tim. I mean, aren't you either born with them or not? I mean, is this something that can be learned?
Well, let me back up for a second. And those people that we're talking about are very deliberate and very purposeful. If you take an entrepreneur as an example, they will invest. They will find shareholders to invest with them. They will not stop until they bring their solution, their service, their product to market. And they will never give up. What I would challenge all of us with, and me included, would be, well, if those entrepreneurs are willing to go the extra mile of working the long hours, of getting financial means, of getting clear on what their mission is, on getting clear on their product, solution, and services, these people are tireless about that. Why can't we all be that way in our relationships? Why can't we all be that way, that entrepreneur mindset of deliberately, purposefully going after quality relationships? Because at the end of the day, that's what that is. So, you know, that passion and that zest is no different than how Apple started or Facebook started, or, you know, the quality donut shop down the corner started. Is there somebody behind that front that is that driven and that purposeful about it? Now to your question about, are you just born with that? Listen, everybody has their God-given gifts. Every single individual out there has that. And what I think our mission is to find out what that is. I bring something to the table that's different than, you know, my brothers bring to the table as an example. But everybody has been just gifted with tremendous insight, tremendous love, and tremendous commitment inside them, and just quality gifts that it's their job to find it. It's not just going to come out on its own all the time. It may, but at times you're going to have to go back and find it because you get distracted or taken off your plan. I think you can learn that pathway, but everybody has quality gifts inside them, Johnny, that they need to maximize those strengths, those gifts that they've been blessed with.
That takes courage, though. And I think, you know, we did a show, actually it wasn't recent, it was several months ago, and it was, the dialogue was about courage and fear. You know, can you really have one without the other? I personally believe no. But in today's environment especially, I don't care whether you're single or not, we all have financial responsibilities. We all tend to have a larger group as opposed to a smaller group of individuals around us that are always encouraging us to take the safe route. Right? Go out, get a good job, make a good living, the 401k, the insurance, da 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 da. And I'm not implying that the other side of that is going out and do your own thing, be your own boss. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, rather than truly follow where your heart is, where your passion is, all around us we're being encouraged to go out and take the job that pays a lot of money so you can drive the really cool car, have the cool house, and do all of that. Is that what's getting in the way of people really pursuing their passions and finding that humility and really being successful in other ends of business? Or do they end up being complacent and just, you know, doing the same old in the companies that they work for?
Well, listen, I believe in a world of abundance. And so I God bless any of those that find that successful career and find great financial reward and relational reward inside a high-paying career, whatever that may be, and I wish that for everyone. However, that's not always how it plays out in a lot of cases, and there's so many people that leave corporate America or their own business or their families, and I mean that's why divorce is the way it is, and that's why people change jobs, a minimum of 7 times in their lifetime, is because they don't feel completely fulfilled. It's why you hear an executive that leaves a company and writes a book for the first time and they're the best-selling author ever. It's the reason why a woman in Arizona wakes up in the middle of the night and writes a story and it's the best-selling movie out there. It's because they have this inside of them, these gifts, and to fulfill the destiny that God has really put in front of them, for lack of a better word, or right there for them, that they got to get in touch with who they are. And they really need to spend time, just like all of us do, me, you, everybody included, to move inward and to find out exactly what is it that is going to give me that passionate, purposeful life. And there's a roadmap for every individual for that.
So let's say this. Let's say someone gets the courage and they get in that space. And you have, and let's just be able to reflect on your experience, regardless of where on the globe it was at. You firsthand have experienced these leaders that are compassionate, that are humble, that are gracious, that are merciful, that they're inspirational, but yet they're highly disciplined. And you've also engaged in the other. Now, in both cases, they've got the power, right? So when you have the power, whether it's to hire, fire, performance manage, however you want to say it, I mean, ultimately you hold the keys of the kingdom. Are these results between these two leaders, are they measurably different based on your own personal experience? And if so, in what way? Where does it really show up the most?
Well, you'd have to define results, but I would answer it this way. They could get the same outcome, but they're not going to, let's say in terms of just revenue as an example, if they're trying to grow their business, that they may be able to get the same results, but the wake is going to look much different. So their speedboats may be in the right spot, Johnny. However, the wake that they're leaving behind them is going to look much different. So the wake of the compassionate, humble, engaged, present, not that the opposite of that isn't engaged, but let's just take an example of a compassionate, humble leader, good guiding principles, good core values, good example of what we would kind of call the classic quality leadership vision of good would be, that wake is going to look much different. It's going to have growth underneath it. It's going to have leaders growing. It's going to have empowered people. They're going to feel like they buy into a bigger cause. The mission will be clear. The vision will be clear. The objectives will be clear, and people will be growing underneath that leader, and you wouldn't be able to stop it. It will just be overflowing with progressive thinkers, different thinkers, quality leadership, and decisions being made at all levels. If you take the other side of that, the same is true. That leader is going to leave a wake behind them that's going to look much different. It'll be command and control. They will have more turnover in their business. He will leave people feeling fearful, timid to make their own decisions, disempowered. They won't be as loyal to the leader. So it depends what kind of wake you want to leave behind you. And everybody's going to leave one, Johnny. It just depends what kind of wake you want to leave.
I love that analogy. Actually, I don't think I've ever heard that, so I won't take it for my own, but I can promise you one thing, I'm going to continue to share it. Now, as you think about your leadership experience, you think about when you were at your best, you think it maybe when you weren't at your best. So step away from the business world and let's just say, and I'll let you take whatever end of the spectrum you want to initially, what would be going on in a person's life if they're really on top of their game? So when they're, you know, when they are that leader leaving a wake of nothing but prosperity and engaged employees and people are being promoted all around them, what does their life look like? What their social circles, what are they doing away from business to get them into that state of mind and that state of being?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because sometimes I think there's an appearance of I'm on top of my game and I may not really be on top of my game. You may be at the pinnacle of their career, at the top place where they still feel unfulfilled and don't feel like they're giving their best, but yet they're executing. And so there may be an appearance of that. So we shouldn't confuse those two, because often there's this appearance of, yeah, I'm on top of the world and I got everything going. But then you look into an individual's personal life and it may be crumbling or maybe falling apart. In a lot of cases, that's what was happening with me. You know, my personal life wasn't as growing and as mature as I needed it to be, and made some, you know, terrible, I would just call it missteps and mistakes in my relationships in the past. And so it may not always look that way. However, if you were just to go back to that analogy of the wake of what you've talked about, of people growing and empowered people in a culture that's on fire and believing that they're moving ahead, that leader has probably got a handful of things going on, very successful in their life. First of all, they're probably very clear with about who they are as a leader and their strengths and opportunities, and they're setting up a team around them that is balancing them out in terms of strength. Secondly, they're probably very, very clear about what they're doing to sharpen their saw every day. And they're learning and they're growing and they're not just seeking out from the circle that they're in. They're probably reading more than anybody else is. And you know what they say, Johnny, all the time. If you want to know what somebody's up to, just ask them what they're reading. So and you'll learn a lot about that individual. Most of the leaders that I've experienced that are very in tune with their teams and are being successful are so thirsty for knowledge and wisdom, they're going everywhere to find it. And they're seeking knowledge really everywhere. And I've also seen these leaders have a tremendous sense of urgency. They believe that today is the day. They get to begin anew every day, and they don't spend any time about the past or historical, either personal or professional business, and they keep moving ahead. And then what's amazing, Johnny, is they do surround themselves with people that I wouldn't say that are like-minded, but they surround themselves with people that are passionate, that have a purpose in their life. Whether they agree completely with the direction that they're going with, they are very clear about surrounding themselves with people that bring out the best in them, that it creates an environment together that they just thrive around bringing out the best in people. And we've been around people that don't bring out the best in us or don't bring out my best behavior. I can tell you that. Well, I got to lose that community and find a community that helps me become, you know, the man that I want to be. And so those are just a few of the traits that I would say I see with people that leave a wake behind them that lives long after that person moves on.
You know, you talk about life experiences, you talk about social circles. And I think one of the things that's really important to understand is that there's so many of us that think, oh my gosh, I'm just not worthy. All of the things that I've done, that I've said, all the hurt that I've caused, all of those various things, that wake that I've left has just been one of just torment and pain through my personal and professional career. I just don't, I don't think that there's anything I could do that could change it. That's the behavior I would challenge. I would actually share with you that I have a very strong belief, and I know it to be true, not because it's coming from me, but because I've seen it, is those experiences or those times that have been the most difficult in our lives, that's where the wisdom resides. And if we can slow down just long enough to take in those learnings, I've said this before, I don't believe there is such a thing as coincidence. And recently I had breakfast with actually just a recently retired, he was a CEO of Advanced Auto, Darren Jackson. And we were having this conversation about a coincidence. And he was actually the one who brought it up in the dialogue. So there is no such thing as a coincidence. Everything in life happens at a specific purpose and time, purpose, place, and with someone specifically. Because it's through those learnings, no matter how painful, reckless, or difficult they may have been, that's where the learnings come from. And it's through those learnings and it's through that wisdom that gets people like you, Tim, because people like myself and every one of us, if we pay enough attention to a better place. And I take that a step further. When we talk about being compassionate, humble, and gracious, there's two other elements I would throw in there I'd really like your perspective on. The second is that when you have this wisdom, you now have a responsibility. It goes back to what you said at the very beginning of the show. It's God has given us all some amazing gifts. Very few has he given us the same gifts, right? But when he gives us these amazing gifts, there's an expectation we're going to do something with it. We're going to make the world a better place. And we make the world a better place by helping each other, giving, forgiving, so forth and so on, and selfishly. Through that process, through life's experiences and the wisdom that we've obtained through that, there's going to be an opportunity for us to, in some way, shape, or form, impart in a very humble way to other people, whether it's our children, our spouses, our parents, our friends, someone that we don't even know that we haven't even met yet, to help them get to a better place. And I think that if we would all slow down just long enough to really appreciate that when we're really going through a difficult time and we feel like, you know what, it's the old saying, if you're going through hell, just keep on going. I mean, that's where the learnings are. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think there's a couple points that are worthy to talk about it. And one of them is most quantum leaps and most key learnings and most big movements when people decide this is where I'm going and this is the change in my life I'm going to have does not come on the back end of winning a championship. Or it doesn't come on the back end of buying my first home, or it doesn't come on the back end of I now have that perfect car, whatever that may be, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. I don't know. But almost never, matter, and I would say never, comes on the back end of that. It comes on the back end of I am at a low point. I have to give up an addiction. I don't like what happened, a divorce in your life, possibly a child crisis, which I had with one of my young, my youngest son. And that was a pivotal crucible moment for me, Johnny, that caused me to start looking deep inside. And I think that's when change really starts to take hold. You know, companies usually don't make a quantum leap unless they're fixing such a big need and they're so passionate about it. Or businesses that they love that, so they're solving a problem, or they're ready to lose everything, and they persevere through that, and then, boom, something glorious happens. And most people give up right before they reach success. They're almost there, and they give up, and boom, there it is right in front of them. And so I do believe that it is absolutely when true change and sustainable change will start to take place if they continue setting their settings in the right spot, and we can talk about that in a minute. But and then I'd address your second comment, which is we have a responsibility. You have a responsibility if you've had that aha moment, which, you know, it goes back, and Eleanor Roosevelt said it, and it's in the Bible, and pick up any book, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's a responsibility that falls on all of us, I believe, that can contribute and make our communities better that we live in, because the community that we live in, whatever that community may be, that could be your friends, that may be, you know, a place of worship for you, that may be your golf club, that could be anywhere that you bond to make that community a better place to be in. That could be your gym. You know, for us, it happens to be the communities that we run in down in here, and there's multiple communities, but that is so integral for everyone's growth. And what kind of community they're involved in.
I couldn't agree more. Well, let me ask you something, though. So you talked a little bit about regret, and you talked a little bit about courage. And I think one of the challenges that so many of us have today is that you can't shake your past. And you and I were having a conversation previously, and you were talking about the difference, you know, about your history and writing, you know, writing in pen and moving forward and not looking back, right? Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Yeah, I think one of the absolute essential steps to health and balance in your life is that you have to give up your personal history. And what I mean by that is so often we regret something that we've done in the past. And I would go back to what you said earlier, which is everything happens for a reason. And every individual on this call in the world is exactly where they're supposed to be today, through tough roads, through good roads, through highs and lows, through tragedies, through death. They are right where they're supposed to be. However, there's so often we carry around guilt of the past or things that we're not proud of. And we all have those moments. I have 10 million of them. Bad behavior. I mean, we don't have enough time in this call to tell you about all my bad behavior, and everybody would be bored about it. Or maybe they'd be applauding, because then they wouldn't have to look in the mirror and deal with their bad behavior because mine was so crappy. However, at any given point, we all have these bags on our shoulders, whether that is guilt, whether that is fear, whether that is regret, whether that is I don't feel good enough, whether that is I let my team down, whether that is I let this company down, or I behaved inappropriately at this meeting, or I mean, it's just a plethora of, and I, you know, there's not enough time to go in it. But you absolutely have to let go of the past and embrace the present. Matter of fact, I just read this book a little bit ago, and Victoria and I were whipping through it. And it's this book by Jason Chan, which is the 7 Principles for Radiant Living. And one of the key principles from this very interesting teacher is you have to let go of the past and embrace the present. And if you look at all of the very, I would just call them instructors or teachers of the way, it's like Dr. Wayne Dyer says, you know, I believe it's his, you know, 5th or 6th secret in 10 secrets for success and inner peace. One of his key secrets is you must give up your personal history. Everything that you've done in the past is written with a pen or, you know, let's just call it this pencil that you wrote your history with. Well, you know what? Every single day you wake up, you got a new pen in your hand. You get to write what today looks like. So forget the pencil that you wrote in the past, because it's irrelevant to what you can do in the future and today. And that's a hard reality and a difficult place to get to. However, if you just forgive yourself for all maybe the things that you feel like you didn't do well, let it go, because it's not serving you and it won't serve you in the future. And I find personally, Johnny, that when you carry that around, resentment builds, anxiety builds, and we know that's not from a place of you know, good fellowship and health and wellness. I mean, even Jesus of Nazareth said, "My yoke is light." And so you don't have to carry that burden, and we can let those go. And I think the sooner people can begin to, and it's a daily work, don't get me wrong, of letting go of your personal history so that you can move forward and grasp all the great things that this world has right in front of you, the healthier their life is going to be.
Amen. Folks, again, for those in, and we have a short bit left in the call, but we are in the show, but we'd love to hear from you. Our number again is 347-677-1965. And again, I'm here with the incredibly inspirational and enjoyable, successful executive, Tim McGee, and we'd love to hear from you. Tim, I'd like to go to something you just said there. And you talked about forgiving yourself. And it's so difficult, I think, because I shared this with someone else. I was having a conversation today is, you know, there's no one harder on ourselves than ourselves. No matter what you show on the exterior, inside, like I say, is what, you know, when you talk to yourself and when you're alone in your own mind, there's no one more critical of you than you. It's trying to create those self-checks. Just like you have your triggers that cause bad behaviors, it's those triggers that make you stop numerous times in the day, whether it's before you say something, whether it's after you said something, or whether it's you know where you're going somewhere, I don't care whether it's a doctor's appointment, social event, work, wherever, and mentally just start asking yourself some questions. It's when you leave a meeting saying, did the best version of myself show up there? And how do you do that on a regular basis? And I think that's just so essential, because it's when we don't put ourselves, and eventually it becomes habit, when we don't do those types of things, and then we walk out of there going, shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's where regret
begins
to stem, right? How does someone even begin to forgive themselves?
Well, there's a couple of things that you said that I think are key before we get onto that. But, you know, I always used to say, Johnny, that the quality of your life is the quality of your communication. In my head, I always thought that was external. You know, and so I would say that at conferences, or I'd say that, you know, when I was consulting or when I was running a company, listen, the quality of your life is the quality of your communication. Well, the reality of it is the quality of your life is the quality of your communication inside, in that internal dialogue that you have with yourself, because that's where 65,000 thoughts sit every single day. And how you program yourself to that is critical to how you move forward. And you know, before I get into that, one of the things that I think we were going to get into but we didn't have a chance to is that the reason why you go off track is because your life isn't congruent, and your essential self, like your inner being, like what you know your intuition is, your gut, your heart, your soul, what you feel. Now, those are all different topics, but that gets confused with your social self. So you start filling up these buckets of your life that, you know, you buy a new car, you buy a new watch, you get a new home, you buy a bigger boat, you try and fill it up with all these social things. You may overindulge in drinking, and, you know, six martinis seem like a great idea when one was sufficient. And so you keep filling it up with all this social self stuff, only realizing that you may be at the peak, but you're not internal. It's because your life isn't congruent, and you need to find that pathway that gets that life congruent, and that's to find your essential self. And maybe we can chat about that at another time. But you did say something that struck with me, because I was listening to a minister a while ago, this very dynamic lady named Christine Kane, and she was speaking about her and her husband started this whole project on stopping human trafficking out of Australia. They're just a fantastic couple. But she was speaking, and she was talking about we have to set our settings right. So get your settings right. And the story that she told I thought was just fantastic, which is most of us know that if we're going to get into our car and we want the Bluetooth to work, we have to set the setting right. You know, or your Bluetooth isn't going to work. Or, you know, I just got a new Apple device not too long ago. I had to program the whole thing. I had to get my settings to connect with my MacBook, to connect with my iPad. And, man, when it doesn't work, it is a pain in the posterior, right? We just know it is such a pain and it doesn't work. And now my device is not working. And next thing I know, I'm down at the Apple store trying to figure it out. Well, if you don't get your settings right, your devices don't work, but either do you. And if you don't take the time to get set right internal, you're never going to be able to get set external. And so we got to do work to get our settings right. And when we get our settings right, it's amazing the doors that open up. It's amazing the inner peace that comes. It's amazing the calmness that comes when our kids aren't doing what we wish they were doing, right? But if you take the time to set your settings, however you do that, and I don't know how you do it, I know how I do it, but however you set your settings right, if we just took the time to do that every single day, and I've got a real deliberate way I go about that, but if we can set our settings right, Johnny, it sets us up for a productive day because every day is today, and it's a new day, and now is the time. It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it starts one decision at a time. And so if we do what Christine Kane taught me, which was set your settings right, you're going to stand a much better chance.
So let me ask you something then, because we still have several minutes left in the call. What I don't want to do is lose time, because this is one of the most important questions, I think, for myself personally, and I think our guest listeners would like to hear. So what advice would you give to someone who's trying to get their settings right, whether it's an executive, manager, a mom, dad, homemaker, or just a student that's really trying to change the way that they view the world or live in a loving,
yeah,
compassionate, and merciful way? I mean, what would you tell them, Tim?
You know, I guess I would call it five. Yeah, I don't know what I'd call it, but I would say there are really kind of five traits, topics, discussions that I think about to get myself back on track when I'm off track. The first thing, number one, is move inward. Do not move outward. And what I mean by that is get very clear on your internal self. And there's a lady by the name of Martha Beck that wrote this very interesting book called Finding Your Own North Star. And the purpose of that book is instead of moving external, move internal is one of the key components of what Martha was talking about, which we've talked a little bit about today. So first, move inward. And most people tell you to do that. Christine Kane was teaching me that when she said set your settings right. And I'll talk a little bit about how I personally do that to start my day. And it goes back to even the biblical times. Be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say run around with the music playing in your house every single day, because we are bombarded with noise every single day, whether it's a tractor, a bus, the FedEx man, the doorbell, our texts, our phones. I mean, just the other night, or last night, Victoria and I just said, let's just have dinner, turn our phones off, put them away, because it's constant noise. And so one of the things that I would say is you must find quiet time, because you're not going to find it at a club, you're going to find it at a pub. You got to find some time to be still and set your settings right and listen to you internally and do what Martha Beck says, which is move inward instead of outward. In other words, find your essential self. That's number one. Number two, you got to do what we were talking about early, and that is you got to give up your personal history. And you got to let your history be your history, because if you don't, you're going to carry that with you. And for me personally, Johnny, it started to show up in resentments. It started to show up in anger. It started to show up in overindulging in alcohol when I shouldn't have been. It started showing up in lots of bad behaviors. And I've had to work through a lot of that, just finding a way to give up my history of the things that I didn't do well, my failures, my mistakes, my rejections, what I thought I deserved, kind of that entitled mentality. So number two, let go of the past. Listen to Dr. Dyer that says give up your personal history, and Jason Chan says it, and then everybody says it. The third thing you must do, Johnny, is you have to seek wisdom. You must seek knowledge and understanding. And I got to tell you what, everywhere you go, Stephen Covey wrote it, and it's been out there forever, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which is you must sharpen your saw. And so you have to find a way to gain that wisdom. Even the book of Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, says, listen, wisdom is more precious than rubies and gold and fine jewelry. Well, if that man is saying it, then wisdom is knowledge. And so seek that out. Have people that you go seek that out with. Do the Covey thing. Find wisdom. Keep reading. Find every book you can to gain knowledge and understanding. A good example of that is I call my father about once every 2 weeks and say, Dad, this is a wisdom call. Call me. You know, because he's lived longer than I have. He gives me great insight. Even if I don't agree with him, he's got a point of view that I should listen to. The fourth thing I would say, Johnny, is community. And what I mean by community in this case is surround yourself with passionate, full-life people that don't necessarily have to have the same opinion of you, don't even have to believe the same way you do, but that are living life, that they're contributing, that they may be going on mission trips with your church. They're giving to charity. They are giving to the local community. They're rallying for the underdog in your community, and they're building businesses. And they're finding a way to find the best in people. They're giving to the hospitals. Find yourself and surround yourself with passionate people. If they're passionate about food, hang out with them for cooking class. If they're passionate about drinking every day of the week, that might be the wrong crowd. However, you got to make that decision that's right for you. But there are groups of people all around you that can help you. And I'll give you one of the ways I do it. Every week, I get on a FaceTime call with a good friend of mine in Indiana and a pastor in Indiana, and we just talk about life. And we just talk about what is it that we're going to contribute, and what is God, those God-given gifts that he's given us, to say no to the good things that come in our life and the yes to the great. That was my conference call with these guys today. And all that is us just trying to find our way. So number four is community, and surround yourself with people that are on fire and passionate. The fifth thing, and this seems obvious, and I'll let it at this, and you can take it where you want to, that is you got to take action. And you have to take action today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You must begin anew today, and now is the time. So start now. You know, I'm a big believer in intention and declaring your purpose and declaring your path. See it, and you'll get it.
Declare, that's how believe, it is. Declare, believe, and share your intention, I think, is what I think that was the quote when you and I were speaking here recently. I think that's exactly what you said. Tim, I got to tell you, it's exactly what I expected, and I wish we had more time today. I can tell you a couple things. One, you will be back, because I'll be coming after you again, because it's been just – the conversation is always just so enlightening. We always have to stop short of where I would where I would like to go.
You haven't fired me yet. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's right. But I would say this for our listeners, right, a couple of things. One, Tim spent his time today helping others, right? So we have a couple of things in common, not only the value of human beings and talking about things like, does compassionate, humble, and gracious leaders survive in business today? You're damn right they do. Matter of fact, unequivocally, yes. They're the most successful leaders in any industry today. And I would encourage you, if you'd like to connect with Tim, here's a couple options. One, reach out to him on Facebook. Reach out to him on LinkedIn. If you can't find him there, just go to livingwithpurpose.today or any of my social sites. Connect with me, and I'll make sure that you partner up with him. But I guess the only thing I would share, and we literally have about a minute and a half here, is that throughout this entire conversation, I've heard you talk about the value of positive energy, positive people, great circles. One thing I would share with the group is this, is wisdom brings people up, right? Negative energy and opinions that aren't well thought out bring people down. So be very, very conscientious and cautious of what you're doing or what energy that you're sharing when you're engaging with other people. And Tim, I'd like to give you the last minute we have in the call. Any parting thoughts for our listeners today?
You know, not much, Johnny. I just thank you for the time. I appreciate it. And everybody can live a purpose-driven life and live a life of clarity and live a life with less anxiety than living today. And that is we make decisions and take action on every day, have great intention, and you can go get exactly what you dream of and believe in.
Amen. Tim, thank you so much. Listeners, again, thank you. Keep the emails coming, the chats. Keep it coming by way of social media. We love you all. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Johnny.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.